Logic dictates that given their extremely high level of technical development...
Well, it's too technical to explain to the lay mind.
Well, I hope that's not the case, because we are talking technicals now on Money Life. Joining me to do it, Buck Clintworth, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel, which makes him part of the team that runs the Chase Growth Fund, CHASX. If you're looking for more information on the fund, chaseinv.com for more on the firm and everything they do. Buck Clintworth, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
It's great to be back.
You know, there's a lot of different ways to measure what's going on in the market and everything else, but depending on how you're doing it, the NASDAQ fell into correction territory just this week. We're seeing some things that are making people nervous. Are we at a spot now where you're expecting the next move to be down, or are you expecting the move to be, hey, support held and let's go back up?
That's a great question. You know, we're in the midst of earnings season. You've got geopolitical tensions and disarray in Washington, D.C. There's been some troubling signs with the stock market this year. You know, the S&P 500 has retreated from 4,600 to a support level. Well, it's actually broken the support level of 4,200. That's not a horrible correction in the big scheme of things. But when you consider that the index hit 4,800 at the beginning of last year, it's concerning that the market didn't hit new highs this year. You always want to see higher highs and lower lows. What we're seeing is lower highs and lower lows. And that's not what's going to be a sustainable bull market. Right now, you see all of these headlines splash across the screen, and people feel like, well, the market's either great if you're looking at the first half of the year, or it's horrible if you're looking at the headlines. But the perception of what people have is not necessarily reality. People seem to forget that there are more stocks out there than the big mega cap stocks that sort of drive the headlines. You know, it's almost like we're in Plato's cave. We see these giant shadows that the mega cap tech stocks have cast, and we make assumptions about reality based on that. But if we were to turn around, we'd see that the giant tech stocks are standing on the rubble that's the majority of stocks out there. If you look at the S&P mid-cap, it's flat for the year. The Russell mid-cap is flat. The Russell 1000 value is down slightly. The Dow Jones is up slightly. That's not a solid base to stand on. It distorts reality. And with all the other stocks out there, other than a handful of stocks doing poorly so far this year, it's hard to say that we're going to be in a move up anytime soon.
Is this, in your opinion, I know we're talking technicals, but this isn't so much a technical question, but is this kind of things like the long inverted yield curve coming to roost and things along those lines? Or is this just inevitable in a market that at the beginning of the year was so strong and driven by so few stocks that nothing defies gravity forever? The other stuff really hadn't picked up too strongly, so this was kind of inevitable off of that.
It's sort of hard to say, because there are normal market conditions, and then there's what's been happening the last 3, 4, 5 years because of those large tech stocks. You know, in textbook market action, when the market sells off, smaller things sell off first and large things hold in better. And then coming off the bottom, smaller stocks should lead the way, and then large caps eventually catch up. But what we've seen is the larger stocks are leading the way up, and they're also the ones going down the most. When everything shut down in 2020 because of COVID, large held in better. All right, that's perfect. That's what it's supposed to do. But what led the way from the March bottom that year? It was the large things. That's not what's supposed to happen. And in 2022, when the market sold off, what sold off the most is the Magnificent Seven, those big mega cap tech stocks. That's not what's supposed to happen. For years, if you wanted returns, you went to equities. Fixed income gave you nothing, so where else could you go? Right now, it's hard to make the case that you shouldn't own some fixed income at least. If you can get 5% returns with hardly any risk, why not go there?
It's a good question, but as a technical analyst, doesn't the technical side of you say, wait, I'm looking for the next entry position? I mean, are you just using bonds as a parking place? Would you rather be using money market funds, which, by the way, you can also get a 4.5 to 5% yield on and, you know, have instant flexibility? Or do you not need that flexibility in these market conditions?
You certainly want to have flexibility. You know, if you're one of those buy and hold for 30-year people, then you're not looking for flexibility. But most people aren't buy and hold for 30 years. You know, you certainly want to look for entry points. So when you're doing that, you say, okay, things are going down right now. You say, okay, well, what glimmers of hope are there out there, and where can we put money to get better returns than just in fixed income? Well, if you were to look for glimmers of hope, you know, we've been in a downtrend since July, and total New York Stock Exchange volume hasn't really picked up during that time. So you haven't seen buyers rush in, but you haven't seen panic sellers yet. So that's good. And in addition, the percentage of NYSE stocks above their 10-week moving averages has rebounded from oversold levels. Percentage of S&P stocks with their RSI at oversold levels is about 14%, which is a bullish divergence from its 27% back at the beginning of October. You know, with world turmoil comes rising oil prices. What that means is right now the energy sector is an attractive place to invest. Energy stocks have been getting better for the last few months. So suddenly, instead of having six or seven giant stocks to invest in, well, energy stocks are a potential place. So you haven't seen increased selling. You haven't seen the increased buying yet. It's becoming a much more selective market, and tiny little movements are happening, such as in energy stocks, where you can say, you know, that's a potential place where I could put money. It's not a time to be in an index fund. It's a time to be a stock picker and see what's emerging from this.
And in terms of what you see emerging, we can take off the technicals hat here because you wear both technicals and fundamentals. But is your expectation that recession is coming? And if so, not necessarily how hard is it going to be, but how long is it going to be? Because that's maybe the question that's most important.
I'd love for the National Bureau of Economics, who started announcing recessions back in 1980, I'd love for them to say, hey, you know, we're in a recession. Because since 1980, they've made six recession announcements, and they usually backdated 8 months. So in that case, the worst is usually behind you. If you look at when a recession is announced, the S&P, you know, over the next 26 weeks, averages about a little over 6% return, and over the next year, over 15%. One of the keys to look at whether we're going to be in a recession or not, it's in the midst of earnings season. You're going to have the big tech stocks reporting. There's going to be chinks in the armor. They're not foolproof. You're going to have to look at the consumer cyclical stocks. What are they saying? Not just what numbers are they reporting, but what are they forecasting? You know, they know their consumers a lot better than we're able to guess what's going to happen in the U.S. And so keeping an eye on the consumer stocks as they report and what they say is going to be key to knowing, are we out of the woods and things are going to get better now, or are we in for a tough haul for the rest of the year?
Well, Buck, we are always in for a smooth ride when we get a chance to chat with you about technical analysis. Thanks so much, as always, for joining me on the show. We'll talk again as we watch it play out next year.
All right. Thank you.
That's Buck Klindworth, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel. It's chaseinv.com for more on Buck, the firm, and the Chase Growth Fund, CHASX. And we are heading for home on today's edition of Money Life, so the home stretch is in front of us. Stick with us. We'll speed things up when we come back right after this message.